T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Bill O'Brien had some clock management issues at the end of the first half. Here's how the whole rundown went, okay? Third and 16, you complete a pass to Jordan Akins for a first down right around the 50-yard line. That's at 1:57 on the clock. The next snap, Clint, came at 1:26. That's a 31-second runoff from the Akins first down to a Hyde 5-yard run. That play went from 1:26 to 1:20. Then 28 seconds run off after the Hyde 5-yard run until the second and 5 play. It was an incompletion to QT that stopped the play, the clock at 46 seconds, Clint. Third and 5, then you run a slant to Hop for a first down. That play is over at 43 seconds left in the first half. 20 more seconds roll off the clock without a timeout being taken when you had 3 before a first and 10 play. Watson runs until 15 seconds were left, and then B.O.B. bangs his first timeout. Clint, that's a 31-second roll-off plus a 28-second roll-off plus a 20-second roll-off. That is 79 seconds or a minute and 19. And this is all with under 2 minutes to go. These are precious seconds that he just watched fall off the clock when he had 3 timeouts.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're 71 yards in 11 plays. And he had 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning to do it and ran out of time. I mean, that ultimately, that's all we can go through. That's what matters. You went 71 yards in 11 plays. You started that drive with 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning. When you got to midfield with 1:26 on the clock, there's still 3 timeouts in your pocket. And you don't use your first timeout until the 15-second mark to go in the first half. And so a coach's job every week, the entire staff, the job or the goal is to put the players in position to succeed, put the players in position to win. And ultimately, a lot of that starts with game planning and play calling, but a big part of that, especially when you get to the level of where the Texans are, once the roster's built, the culture's built, that you've got superstars out there that can make plays and win games. Now it comes down to in-game situations. And any way you slice it, Bill O'Brien multiple times, really since 2014, multiple times has dropped the ball in those situations. Brian T. Smith had an article in the Houston Chronicle that did a really good job of, I think, without overkilling the situation and going back to 2014, He mentioned 2 or 3 different scenarios where Bill O'Brien had grossly mismanaged situations in a game. And everybody in Houston, and quite frankly, everybody in the country probably that breaks down NFL games and the NFL week on radio and TV is talking about this, right? And so when it's all said and done, I don't believe that the actual mismanagement is the root of all the conversation and the ridicule and the tearing apart of Bill O'Brien. It's Bill O'Brien's responses. It's what he says to the media afterwards when it's blatantly obvious that mistakes were made. And so again, I think every coach out there, if you watch them, put them under a microscope and you watch them and cover them throughout a season, they're going to make mistakes. Timeouts are not going to be called, and they're going to make mistakes in how they use the review,
the
challenge flags. I mean, that's going to happen. And I think every coach, if you follow them close enough, you can find those little mistakes, right? The one yesterday was clearly severe. I mean, that was like you had multiple times throughout that drive to call a timeout and cover up for not calling the timeout 10 seconds earlier or 15 seconds earlier or one play earlier. And so, but when you put them all together, I mean, I wrote a couple of quotes down here from Bill O'Brien after I guess this was one of the games in 2017. I really don't want to hear any BS about clock management. I really don't want to hear. I don't really don't want to hear it this week. 2018. That's not my job. That was the, everybody loves this quote. That's not my job. That's not my job to call a timeout to make their jobs easier. Then 2019, season opener, he burns two timeouts and lost a challenge at one time. And then after the Jacksonville game, he kind of fumbled through the response. No, that was the strategy the whole time of that drive. When in every one of these situations, if he would just come out and say, hey, look, guys, I made a mistake. I fumbled the ball. I screwed up. I should have handled that situation better. It's still a problem, but at least everybody knows you're aware that it's a problem and we can move forward. Since 2014, it seems like it's just swept under the rug, or there's some kind of comment or quote that's made after the game, like the media's ignorant for not understanding the rules. And you just go, wait a minute, that was an egregious mistake. That was an egregious mismanagement of the timeout situation.
79 seconds worth. 79 yeah, precious I mean, seconds.
And so with all that said, look, I know we're going to dig into it, but when it's all said and done, it's like I personally think that all coaches make mistakes. They may not be this blatantly obvious as yesterday's was. All coaches make mistakes. But it's Bill O'Brien's inability to go to the mic after the game and just say, hey, I screwed that up. I dropped the ball. And if he would do that, then I think it would damn sure be a little easier walk for him next time to the podium.
Well, this after the game yesterday from Bill O'Brien is a terrific example of what Clint is talking about.
We had a couple plays there that we wanted to call. We called all three or four of them, I think, and we felt like we were in good shape there to have a chance to score a touchdown there on the catch by Kenny down at the 2 yard line, and he was a little short of where. We thought maybe he would be, so we felt we had another good play there, good low red area play. Just didn't get the right coverage there, and made the decision to kick the field goal.
But the thing is, there should have been two more plays at the end zone after the Stills catch. There should have been three plays to the end zone, not just one.
Well, look,
and that's the problem with the clock mismanagement before that.
Well, we can talk about what there should have been and shouldn't have been. Ultimately, the clock never should have been a factor.
Should not you had plenty? You're at midfield with 2 minutes to go.
The clock never should. And that was my fear the entire time. Is like you're gonna. I don't care if it's from the 30 or if it's from the 2. You're gonna run out of play. You're gonna run out of clock and not be able to use your third down or use your second down. And that's what you absolutely must avoid. Deshaun Watson almost bailed him out with the long 31-yard completion to Kenny Stills, I believe it
was. Yes, that's right.
And he got out of bounds in that process. And so mm-hmm. when that happens, you go, he may have just got bailed out. We're still going to talk about this situation, but he may have just got bailed out on that big 31-yard completion to Kenny Stills. And then you come out, and Deshaun Watson, this is a big part of it for me, that where Deshaun's got to get better. There's 9 seconds on the clock. You definitely have time for two plays and a field goal attempt. And Deshaun holds the ball. Some will argue he missed a slant to Kiki QT in the slot, which there was a window there. But from the big eye in the sky, you can see it. There may have been somebody obstructing his view that he couldn't see. So I'm not going to bang on him about missing an open receiver right there. I am going to be critical of the results of holding the ball for 7 of those 9 seconds, drifting and throwing the ball away, and now you have zero chance to do anything other than kick a field goal. And so it was compound. Bill O'Brien's mistakes were compounded by Deshaun Watson holding the football for 7 seconds in a play that was dead. Just throw it away,
yeah,
and live to see another day. And so those two there compounded that issue and ended up with a field goal. And if the Texans would have lost this football game, it would be a tough, tough day to be in our seats right now talking about the Houston Texans.
So you're like, why is this important? It's important because the 3 points that the Texans got at the end of the first half should have been 7 points, and that's a 4-point difference, and you won this game by 1 point. That's why clock management at the end of the first half is just a huge story for the entire scope of the game. Now, I love what Bill O'Brien is doing. And I know he has a panel, and it's a collaborative effort, but I love what he is doing as the guy with his hand on the steering wheel in terms of aggressive moves. The 4 trades in one day. Aaron Colvin, beat it. You just got torched and maybe kind of sort of cost us a goodbye. Get out of here. The move of Roderick Johnson and Titus Howard. Not Titus Howard. I mean, he was slated projected to start anyway, but getting Rod Johnson in there and Chentrell Henderson out of there. Bold, aggressive move. So So I like what he's doing from that aspect of this. But, Clint, are all of the hats that Bill O'Brien is wearing, play caller, head coach, shot caller, is that getting in the way of his clock management right now?
Yeah, you know, I think it is. I think it, and it's the only way to understand and wrap your head around what's going on game day. And here's, let me explain that. It's when you talk about the two plays that he drew up, that him and Deshaun Watson drew up last week to take the lead versus New Orleans in 30 seconds, whatever, however long it was. That was brilliant. I mean, the whole thing, the design, the execution, the whole thing, being prepared for that situation and then seeing it unfold and executing it right there on camera was absolutely beautiful. And you don't do that kind of – you don't put that kind of plan together without some serious detailed work, without flipping every single stone, without – I mean, the preparation that goes into that. I remember when I was with the Cowboys, I watched I had already gotten cut, but we had worked situations so much – because Bill Parcells is a big situations guy. We had worked him so much. I watched the Cowboys game that year. I just happened to be sitting there watching, and I was like, okay, they got to go 80 yards and X number of plays. They're fixing to run Ohio, and they're going to throw the corner to Antonio Bryant on the left, and then they're going to throw this, they're going to throw that, and I'll be damned. They went boom, one, two, three. I called all three plays. I'd been 6 months cut. Boom. They ran all three plays and kicked a 52-yard field goal to win the game. I believe it was against the Giants. That's how prepared. And so my point is to get there, you've got to be – there is some serious due diligence. There is some serious detail that's been done. And that tells me that the in-game situation not being handled the right way, right? I mean, that's not because a guy doesn't grind and doesn't work and doesn't understand what's going on. That means that whatever's going on in the moment is too much. Whatever's going on in the moment is too much for him to be the play caller and make all the decisions – throughout the game, and manage the clock in critical situations.
We'll have more on this later on in the program in terms of maybe you might want to hire somebody who does the clock management for you, because there's many other head coaches in the league that have that set up. We'll dive into that later, but next, it is Texans Radio as we continue here on Clint and Kamla. And Whitney Mercilus, so far through two games, has been one of the best players in the National Football League on the defensive side of the ball. And we're going to talk about rack using guys the right way and the wrong way next on Clint and Kamla.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.